I feel like we are in the midst of my favorite movie, Gone with the Wind.
Well, there you go.
With all of this fog.
Actually, it makes me think of Brigadoon. Do you remember that movie?
No, I just watched Gone with the Wind so many times. I have all of those lines memorized.
Ah.
But today we're here to talk about county government.
We are?
To see if that's covered in fog.
We're not going to do movie reviews? All right, we can do that. We can do county government this morning. Marty is a county councilwoman, and she has been. And joins us every Wednesday to keep an eye on what your tax dollars are doing in your county, Monroe County. And get us started this morning here on a Wednesday.
And here we go. Yesterday was one of the famous commissioner's staff time.
About 2 o'clock in the afternoon.
The ones that nobody can go to because the room's too little.
And since I am the liaison for the auditor's department, I made certain that I was there to see what was going on and also to shore up whatever support is needed to make sure that we get to the bottom line of getting these two offices to cooperate and get us on track. And it was a very interesting meeting because they wouldn't even, for whatever reason, didn't both show up at the meeting at the same time. We had Hartman Williams, the group that came in to make the report, to go through everything that had to happen to be able to get us back on track. And the treasurer was there and immediately said, well, you know, this is pointing fingers at the county council. You didn't give me enough help. And then when the auditor shows up, the auditor's pointing fingers at the treasurer's office. And at one point, one of the county commissioners was so disgusted, they got up and left. And so at the end of the day, it is a frustrating thing because each of those offices are elected separately. They are elected officials. It is not like as if anybody, not the county commissioners nor the council, can force these two offices to be more cooperative. So it's really going to take public pressure to say, we understand that this is a difficult time for you, but to the extent that you're allowed to be cooperative, do that. And to the extent that you cannot be, then you set back and at least be prepared to move forward when the other office gets caught up. Because we have to remember the auditor's office cannot go over and help the treasurer's office get caught up because there has to be that break, that
separation, right?
Separation. So it is not as if we can send the auditor staff over to help the treasurer's office.
Marty,
that just can't happen.
When Steve Salter spoke to us on Monday, he said that the auditor's office is basically dealing with about two people short. And Kathy Smith has repeatedly said in the paper that she's dealing with short staffing. And yet we seem to have money for parking garages, and we have money for a bunch of other
the priority
things.
Listings.
Right.
So what's going on there?
Let's go through what the staff actually is. Okay, right now the treasurer has six people. And that counts the treasurer and the chief deputy. I really think they ought to be working, too. They're not just elected to run in the office every little bit. So that makes a full staff of six people, with in addition to which, during collection time, then they have hourly people that come in traditionally every year to help with collections. All the people that are standing up there collecting the dollars, these are not their full-time people. And we've been so lucky that we have a lot of people who like to do that, you know, a couple times a year, and they're very well versed at it, so they do a great job as well. So that, remember, when the treasurer wanted to take that cash book, the financial cash book person, and take that job duties and split it into two so that there would be hands off of not the cash book person not doing the banking, that was granted with the same kind of salary. In the past, the person who did the banking was the elected official or the chief deputy. But for whatever reason, that was determined that wasn't the way they wanted to do it. So we hired this additional person for that. That's what the treasurer said that she wanted. So it isn't, I mean, we need to take a look that indeed that is what happened. Now, let's talk about the auditor staff. The auditor staff, not having to do with this auditor, but in the past, we had an auditor who we were getting ready to have budget hearings, and all of this was on the computer, and there was this big brouhaha, and a staff member who was supposed to be doing all this on the computer, there was this big standoff. Well, they weren't going to do it. After that, we pulled out employee positions out of that office and put them in other offices because we did not want to be held hostage by someone in the auditor's office who said they weren't going to help us.
Well,
how does that work?
How do you have someone in your office that doesn't do their job? Why aren't they removed, replaced, or what else?
Well, it was the auditor's daughter. This was back when it was Sandy Newman who was the auditor, and Kathy Smith was in the office, and I'm trying to think who else, but then the payroll person at the time was the auditor's daughter. Now, that would no longer be allowed, but there was this big argument between the auditor staff, and I don't know whether it was committee. I don't really know who the argument was, but I know that we were told they just weren't going to help us then with everything that was already on the computer and no other way to do it. And so that's when that kind of thing happened. You know, sometimes it helps to be around for a long time and know why positions were moved around.
Sure.
But in addition to which, I'm not certain that the auditor looked at the right list of how many employees he has, because when he sent out something to us that said this is what the organizational chart looks like, he left off two people. He left off the grants administrator, which he now has, which is a $37,000 position, and he left off the 25-hour-a-week position, which is the administrative assistant. He left that one off of his chart, so maybe he's not looking at the proper chart. But at the same time that we were having trouble with the auditor in the past, we then determined the county council would pull out and have a position that we had to work with us, because we were having trouble getting any information out of the auditor's office back that many years ago. So it isn't like as if the job is not being done by others. At the time when he's going back so many years, that was we didn't have an HR department. We now have an HR department. Our payroll person many years ago, was Vivian Bridges. She did the HR and the insurance and so forth. So there's reasons why some of these positions have been moved around. That is not to say that perhaps he would not do better to have another position. I personally would like to support taking that 25-hour scheduled person that's there part-time and bump her up to 35 hours. She has experience in that office, and she could help with the claims process. And it's a way that you wouldn't have to start training all over again.
Well, the other argument that is for all of this is if it remains understaffed, quote-unquote, does every 3 years, every 2 years, you have some either State Board of Accounts
Or
the Hartman-Williams
right,
has to come
exactly,
back. Or do you take that $150,000 or $75,000 and add those? I know it comes with benefits. I know it comes with everything else. What's the headache cutoff here? Is it the circle? We just go through the cycle every couple of years and then have to do it again? Or do you put a stop to it, take it, grit your teeth, and bear it and move on? Or do you just kind of try to paper over it? Is that the auditor's decision to make or the county council's decision to make, because you give the money?
Well, it's county council's position to do the budgets. part of what we did was because we had so many mistakes coming out of the auditor's office having to do with the financial statements, with the, whether or not we got things advertised on time or whether or not we had advertised for a change in the levy. These numbers, we were finding mistakes over and over again, and we were having to go through and try to fix the mistakes before they got hit the newspaper, try to pull back out of the paper and do adjustments. And so that's when we determined, what's it been now, 3 years ago, that we would contract with Bob Perley, a former employee of the Department of Local Government Finance, to do all of that for us so that we knew we were going to hit our deadline dates, that we were going to get the tax rates and levies set correctly, and so forth. So that's another position that got pulled out of the auditor's office, and we're contracting with someone to get it done right. And we also contract with someone else to do all of the budget process, but that should be done inside the auditor's office.
So is the reason to do the contracting because it doesn't get done from the past, or there's not enough money to give those people full-time positions? So when you do
we're contracting because the people who are in the auditor's office and were not getting it done correctly, or they did not understand how to do it. Now, I will have to say, I think the auditor has stepped in and taken on way too much on his shoulders. You know, in order to be a good department head, you have to make sure that your employees are well-trained and they are up to the task of getting these jobs done, because the auditor or any elected official cannot be responsible to get all of these things done. So I think perhaps he was trying to take on too much because he used to be the first financial person and who was doing some of these things. But I have to say, even at then, when it was Amy Gerstmann who was the auditor, our present auditor, Steve Salter, was actually the one who was really doing the running of the office, because Amy was sort of AWOL most of the time. But we just cannot have the kind of mistakes that were coming out of that office. And so we contracted out. And I support that, because we have to make sure that those numbers are correct. We have to. But in the meantime, we can't always expect that Bob Perley will want to do this forever. We need to get our staff trained to know how to do this properly and get it done. Not just the elected officer, because that person may not be there forever. We know they won't be, because they're not allowed to just keep staying on as auditor. So the other staff members must learn how to do these things in cooperation with the state. And the training is right there online. It's part of YouTube. It's the state puts it right there online for our people to learn how to do some of these things, such as the entry into what is called Gateway at the state level. We have deadlines to meet to be able to enter these things, and we can't take a chance that maybe somebody won't be there that knows how to make the entry into Gateway. We have to make sure that we have cross-training in all the things that we're doing. So, you know, I want to support getting this job done right, support training of the people in these offices, because things do change, and if they're busy doing their day-to-day job, they may not know of some of the rule changes at the state level or something, or everybody needs renewed training. So I want to support that. And if at the end of the day it requires additional people, well, we'll just have to figure out how we're going to get the money to do this.
Marty Hawk's our guest this morning. The county councilwoman checks in every Wednesday morning after 8:05 to give us her angle from the council's view on what's going on in county government. And, Marty, we have some dates coming up here in 2015 that we need to hit, and there's no way around those, correct? You have to get everything wrapped up by, what is it, December 21st? Did we see that with the treasurer's office?
I thought it was the 15th, but you might be
okay.
Right on the
so
21st.
Somewhere
in that, there was some pretty hard deadlines going on.
Right. Well, we know that the treasurer's office has to go back to January 1 to start the reconciliation, and we are told that it's off by $200,000. So it is very important that that cash book person begin to get all those entries made and get that balanced out and reconcile the cash to the bank and get that going and have that done so that we can make settlement. It should not be two or three people doing that, even though there needs to be other people know how to do it and do cross-training. But you get into that cash book, and it's not supposed to be two or three people in there, because you've got to be able to have that one person hands-on, that it's one of
those
things.
Is this person up to the job?
Well, we will find out, won't we? We will find out that if they've got to go back to the beginning of the year. Now, part of what the auditor suggested yesterday, not the treasurer, but the auditor, that it might take the treasurer staff more than he indicated he'd be surprised to get it done by the deadline in order to have the numbers ready for settlement. Because he said even with Hartman Williams, look how long it took them to do 2 years, and now we still have almost another year to do, and one person doing it, not two people. So we have to make sure that in the treasurer's office, hopefully she will be there, and the chief deputy, and make sure that that cash book person is not having to do any of the work at the counter or being interrupted in any other way, so that they can get right on that cash book and bring it up to date. And I know I've been told they've already started that process. So we'll get this worked out, because, of course, you have to. You have no choice.
Right.
Eventually, we will get it worked out. And it takes leadership, and it takes knowledge of how to do it and a willingness to learn.
Marty Hawk, great job as always. We appreciate your time on Wednesday mornings. Let's do it again next week, shall we?
We will. And in the meantime, let us not forget, we've got a problem with leaking going on at the courthouse, so good luck to...
Well, it's rained once in 10 days. How do you know it's leaking?
It's not the rain. It's like the pipes in between the floors where they put in new pipes. And
oh, my God. So wasn't there just new, a whole bunch of new stuff there? They didn't check the pipes before they closed everything up?
I'm just told that there's people covering things with plastic and... we've got millions of dollars poured into our beautiful courthouse, so I hope that they find out what the problem is, and I know that they are trying really hard to address what the problems are.
Well, keep us updated on all of that, and we will catch up with you next Wednesday.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Marty Ock, County Councilwoman. She checks in with us Wednesday mornings just after 8:05 to take an angle from the council on what's happening in local government and your tax dollars at work. That's the key, folks. That is your money in the county.